Some of the responses to his solicitation were enthusiastic. I spent several months in Afghanistan interrogating the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, a soldier attached to the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment operating in western Iraq responded just 14 hours later, according to the timestamp on his email. I firmly agree that the gloves need to come off. With clinical precision, he recommended permitting open-handed facial slaps from a distance of no more than about 2 feet and backhanded blows to the midsection from a distance of about 18 inches. I also believe that this should be a minimum baseline. He also reported that fear of dogs and snakes appears to work nicely. The 4th Infantry Division's intelligence operation responded 3 days later with suggestions that captives be hit with closed fists and also subjected to low-voltage electrocution. But not everyone was so sanguine as those two units' operations. "We need to take a deep breath and remember who we are," cautioned a major with the 501st Military Intelligence Battalion, which supported the operations of the 1st Armored Division in Iraq. The officer's name was deleted in official documents released by the Army, as were those of other writers in this email exchange. "It comes down to standards of right and wrong, something we cannot just put aside when we find it inconvenient, any more than we can declare that we will take no prisoners and therefore shoot those who surrender to us simply because we find prisoners inconvenient. The bottom line," he wrote emphatically in conclusion, "was, we are American soldiers, heirs of a long tradition of staying on the high ground. We need to stay there." Brigadier General Janis Karpinski, the commander of all prisons in Iraq, was growing concerned about conditions at Abu Ghraib, she said later in a sworn statement. On August 16, insurgents mortared the prison, killing 6 Iraqi prisoners and wounding at least 47 others. At that point, the prison held Iraqis brought in under the old regime or as criminals, but not suspected insurgents caught by U.S. raids. In the wake of that incident, Karpinski went to see Major General Walter Wojdakowski, Sanchez's deputy commander, to ask for help. "They're prisoners, Janis," Wojdakowski dismissively said to her, she later recounted. "Did you lose any soldiers?" "I could have," she recalled telling him. "They didn't care," she said, according to her statement, in which she also said that Sanchez didn't care until 2 MI soldiers were killed a month later. In the following weeks and months, she added, "The divisions kept giving us more prisoners. Well, increase capacity. Where would you like me to increase capacity?" The answer, she said, was, "Cram some more tents into the compound." About 10 days later, the first suspected insurgents captured by the United States arrived at Abu Ghraib, Karpinski later recalled. "It was the middle of the night when helicopters arrived carrying 35 of them. My battalion commander is calling me frantically saying, 'Do you know anything about this? Why are we getting these people?'" On August 31, Major General Jeffrey Miller, commander of the detainee operation at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, where 660 suspected Al-Qaeda and Taliban members were held and interrogated, arrived in Iraq to help U.S. commanders improve their intelligence operation, or, as his subsequent report put it, to rapidly exploit internees for actionable intelligence. His team of 17 experts didn't always get a warm reception. There was a great deal of animosity on the part of the Abu Ghraib personnel, a subsequent investigation by Army Major General George Fay found. One of the core conclusions General Miller reached during his 10-day visit was that Abu Ghraib should be operated more like the prison he had run on Guantanamo, most notably by using the conditions of detention to soften up prisoners for questioning. "The detention operations function must act as an enabler for interrogation," Miller stated in his own report, which bore the classification "secret, no foreign," meaning that it wasn't to be shared with foreign allies. His recommendation failed to take into account the vast difference between the U.S. base on Cuba's eastern end, a secure and remote area completely under U.S. military control, and the chaos that surrounded Abu Ghraib, perched in the no-man's land between Baghdad and Fallujah, a combat zone profoundly hostile to the foreign military presence in its midst. What's more, the ratio of guards to prisoners at peaceful Guantanamo was about 1.4 to 1, while at Abu Ghraib, which was regularly being mortared, the guards were heavily outnumbered, with a ratio of about 1 for every 10 prisoners. As more detainees flooded in, the ratio worsened to 1 to 20, according to Karpinski.